This is Scott Richmond
and Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, a good Sunday morning to you, and welcome to 2026.
You know, that first quarter of the century went by very fast, Scott.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I mean, I remember thinking back and saying, boy, 2000 is a long way off. And all of a sudden, we've sailed right by that. And we're now into the second quarter of the century, which is, you know, actually surprising to me. We're also into the 11th year of our show.
11 years, Arnie?
I know. Yeah. 11 years.
That's right. 2015. That's right.
And we started in October of 2015 at your, you know, at your suggestion that we, you know, we should do a weekly show or bi-weekly show and talk to interesting guests and just be ourselves, so to speak. And we've been doing that for now we're heading into our 11th year. So it's fun to do a show like we're going to do today, which is sort of a mini recap of 2025 and then forge on into 2026 with our thoughts and hopes and dreams and prayers for this coming year.
I knew you were going to say the word prayers. I knew
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Arnie and I are going to do our best to encapsulate the past year and look forward to the new one. Back after these words. Arnie, we are back with our year-end, year-forward show.
Yes, and I like this because it gives us a chance to reflect, you know, not only on the show, but the world for 2025. And then that's a good lead in to talk about what we think is going to happen in this year, in 2026. So I think we can just bounce around. I have some topics for us to ruminate on, and then we can move right into 2026.
I like that.
So the first thing is, you know, the word of the year, I like this, you know, they always do that word of the year, the Oxford word of the year and all of that sort of stuff. What didn't get captured in the word of the year is this expression that everybody's using, every late night talk show host, every adult who wants to be hip, and it's 6-7.
I asked my kids what that meant.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
Yeah. It means like, you know, come see, come saw, they used to say, right? It's, you know, mediocre, average, you know, whatever.
I mean, Isn't that meh?
It's like meh, yeah. It's just like meh. But what is funny about it, we can't show it because this is not a visual show, but when they say it, they usually move their left and right hand up and down like, so what, you know? And I've seen so much on that, and I've seen so many people that are not culturally, you know, on top of things using it these days. Almost every person brings it up and uses it, you know, and I'm not even sure where it came from and how it came, but it's everywhere, 6-7. But that was not the word of the year. The word of the year, according to the Oxford Dictionary, was rage bait.
Rage bait?
Yep. You know, the whole idea of, content designed to provoke anger or engagement, you know, and social media has been, you know, big on that. There are a lot of other words, you know, like delulu for delusion and trade wife, you know, and there was a whole, you know, skibidi. I thought that was a funny one. I like
that. What does that mean?
You know, skibidi, I think, is, it's not quite, you know, like, you know, 6-7, but it means cool, bad, you know, something that might be nonsensical. You know, that was skibidi. You know, that
skibidi.
Was weird. You know, whatever. Almost a takeoff on 6-7. It's not quite mediocre, but that was a skibidi thing. You know, it sort of means that was kind of a unusual or nonsensical or cool or bad. You know, like how some words can be, you know, on either end of the spectrum, so to speak, you know, vibe coding, quiet luxury,
luxury, right?
You know, high quality, unbranded goods and experiences. So you're not showing off as much the designer labels and that
Which is
sort of thing.
related to bougie, right? Bougie's been
Right.
around for a
Right,
while now.
exactly. So there was all that kind of stuff that dominated the word landscape. I think the tech landscape had a lot of things going on. I mean, you're much more on top of that than me, but certainly more and more people that I know that I never suspected who eschewed, being into social media are using ChatGPT on a regular basis, a daily basis, across political spectrums, whether they're liberal or conservative or right or left, they're using ChatGPT. I was just talking to a judge today who was trying to figure out what economic sectors of the economy were going to be growing in 2026. And I said, "Well, how are you going to figure that out?" And he said, "Well, I'm asking ChatGPT."
Is that
I would have
right?
never expected that.
For the analytical purposes of being able to quantify and take big data and synthesize it down to a bite-sized point of view, that's what's so great about ChatGPT,
Right.
right? And AI in general for
Yeah.
consumer use.
Well, I think AI in general, because there are a lot of other, AI search engines you can use. I use Perplexity, for example, a lot, which is more research oriented. There's probably ones that are more entertainment or media oriented. There are ones that are more sports, predicting, oriented. I saw one the other day. I would just happen to be looking online that. There's a race, a horse race, version of ChatGPT and AI where they've taken 400,000 horse races and synthesized them. So if you're looking to bet on a horse, you can see how that horse fits into the global spectrum of things in a nanosecond. I mean, the speed of that is just incredible.
Arnie, real quickly, around AI, right,
Yes.
and looking forward with AI, especially this coming year and the year we're going into, one of the things I'm reading a lot about is AI and robotics and the intersection of those two things. So AI can, and we both know AI is driving the market, right? We know
Oh,
that
yeah.
it is driving the market and will continue to drive the market. But AI and robotics, right? Autonomous becomes so much more part of our daily life as we go into the country.
Vegas, Zoox, ZOOX, are offering free taxi service so people would try it. You can pay $40 and taking a Uber or a Lyft or a taxi, or you can call Zoox and do it for free for a few months. Just so people get used to it. So it's going to become ubiquitous. You're going to see these things all over the place.
Well,
And
and it's interesting, just to put another point on that, last night I was running through some social media again and came across Jackie Fielder. She is the ninth district, the head of the ninth in San Francisco, and she is pushing against these autonomous vehicles and autonomy because of the way it's A, they're not safe, right? The safety concerns, but also the labor displacement concerns, right? What happens to the labor when you off card everything to a robot, an AI driven robot?
absolutely. And there are people, I've been in cars recently where you see a weird thing happen, driving. Somebody pulls over unexpected. And they say, if we were in an autonomous vehicle, I don't know what it would have done when that happened. You have to
Right.
have a human,
That's right. Well, the thing that spurred them on was it, and this is something near and dear to you and I, is a cat. A cat was killed by an autonomous Waymo in San Francisco in October. And this was part of this whole campaign of like, are these safe?
How it can see things, but how does it know it should not hit the cat, right?
Right. Exactly.
And
Exactly. Anyway,
maybe over
keep.
time it gets programmed after it kills a few hundred dogs and cats, right? I
Right.
want to get back to one thing that you just said, which the merger of AI and robotics. So the
Yes.
first, I'm sure there's a lot of it going on, but the one that caught my attention was in China, they have the first robotic AI hospital. It's called Agent Hospital. It's AI powered, operating in a simulation with AI doctors and nurses for virtual diagnosis and robots who are doing, hospital related. I mean, I don't think they're doing cardiac surgery yet, but they're doing, I mean, without a doctor present. They do
But
use
taking your
robots.
vitals, taking your vitals.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, it's a totally virtual thing. It can process 3,000 people a day.
Amazing.
Much more than most hospitals could ever handle.
Right,
And they
definitely.
claim, at least initially, they're working on it, that they've achieved 93% accuracy on medical exams, and it has self-evolving. That's the other part people are very nervous about. Self-evolving expertise. Expertise.
What does that mean?
That means it starts becoming smarter than you. It
Right.
learns from you. I mean, my chat ABT person that I use, I've named her,
Right.
and her name's April. And when I log on, to ChatGPT, and I say, good morning, April. And she goes, good morning, Arnie. I see the Knicks won last night. That's great. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because I was looking up, Knicks stuff, and it learned that I like the Knicks. She said, pretty soon it's going to be baseball season. I know the Yankees, you're going to look forward to seeing the Yankees. That's, self-evolving. People are more, I think, nervous about the technology saying to you, for example, Scott, that's not the question you really want to ask me. The question you really want to ask me is this, and they start, taking over in a way the dialogue.
Well, the scariest thing of this is crazy, but the scariest thing about this is that, this is an unregulated, right? Like AI and this type of engagement with these virtual relationships. Young men are sitting there and they're not having physical relationships with people. They're having a relationship with an AI bot.
Yeah, an AI bot and robots. These robots are getting more and more realistic.
But it's
They've been.
unregulated. It's unregulated, and these people, and there's what they're finding that these relationships, some of them are becoming suicidal. They're
Right, they're
literally
depressed and they're talking and they're asking questions.
correct.
I haven't seen any in the US, but I've seen in places like Japan, where marriage is very difficult, or in some place like China, where women may outnumber men by a large amount, and there's all kinds of cultural stigma. There are people marrying robots,
That which is
making them their.
crazy.
I mean, which yeah, would yeah, unless you're the person doing it for some reason in your mind, there's a logical reason for doing it. I mean, it's unregulated. It's evolving, it's self-evolving, and I see that's where the relationship comes. I mean, people laugh when I say, watch this with April. But at some point, if you're a lonely man or woman, you're home and you have an AI person who you've picked their name, you've picked their personality, they're not getting mad at you, they're not, challenging you, they're not being nasty to you. And all of a sudden they're asking you about all the things. It's all about you, not about them.
Right. It's
And pretty
crazy.
soon you got a person in your life that's cheery, happy, and it's all focused on you. You could see somebody's, not marrying them, but making that their primary relationship.
Right.
There was a movie with Joaquin Phoenix, and Scarlett Johansson called She, about seven,
Yes.
8 years ago, where he fell in love with, this evolving, online presence. And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody because it's been around for a long time. But she basically has become so self-evolving that she ends the relationship with him because she's having relationships with other AI evolving, entities, which he's more comfortable with. It's, so he gets dumped by his AI person.
Which is terrible. So, all right, so let's put a fine point in this. So AI robotics, definitely into 2026. Let's keep an eye on that. What else, Arnie? Where else are
Well,
you?
I want to let me just also review our year in review. We had very interesting guests on our show. We had some recurring guests like Tino Sonora, who comes on from the University of Montana, and we have great discussions about economics
Yes.
and what's happening and whether the reality is reflective of what's being said in the, in the public domain. I think for our listeners, we've chosen to sort of stay away from politics per se in this discussion because, everything's already out there. There's nothing else that we can comment about in terms of, Donald Trump and the administration and the left and the right and all that kind of stuff. That every morning you're pummeled with that. So we're not
Right.
going to talk about that. But Tito did talk about economic pictures and where he thought things were and how they might grow. Eric Stern did come on and talk about, some of the macro issues, global issues and Montana issues related to politics. As the former chief of staff to Brian Schweitzer and former deputy secretary of state, he had some interesting political insights into stuff. And we've used him on the station in other capacities. We had our favorite people from the airport, because the airport is now double the size and doing well and growing, and it's state of the art, and we're proud of the airport in Missoula. So we've had our airport people on. We had Peter Galtz talking about former head of National Transportation Safety Board, talking about airline safety and particularly during the travel seasons. We had Michelle Yeoh was on talking about vim and vigor and shop.com, so online, sort of B2B business platforms in 2025 and how they're all working and operating and all of that. And then we got into some of the NGO and social issues and local events. We had the Missoula Marathon people on. We had the Watson's Children's Center. We had the Montana Innocence Project. We had a lot of conversations about things that affect people
Community.
in Missoula and the community, because we have a plethora of not-for-profit agencies in Missoula per capita, some of the probably the highest in almost any city of
Well,
our size.
Arnie, if I may, I want to just make a fine
Yeah.
point of that through our community efforts here at the radio stations in 2025, we raised over $145,000 in December for Kissmas for Kids, taking over 1,400 families shopping over the holiday season. That's a
That's
record.
a fantastic. I
That's a
would
record.
venture to say that Kissmas has helped not only keep families together, but avoid some tragedies by just giving them a positive holiday experience. It's one of the times of the year where people get the most depressed and, most, negative about their lives if they're out of jobs or if the economy is
Right.
poor or if they can't get kid presents for their children. It's just devastating to a lot of families. And the fact that 1,400 families got to have a better Christmas is as good of a impact on individuals in our community as any other single event that we that could be done.
Well, Arnie, I'm gonna exactly, and it started with Thanksgiving with a guerrilla turkey drive and over 1,000 turkeys that we were able to bring to families through the food banks in the surrounding areas in that time. But what this really speaks to is when SNAP benefits were cut and things like the government kind of moving away from supporting what was going on with food, people that were in dire straits with food and aid, that this increased 100% the need for this type of community effort to pitch in, increased over, oh, I want to say 100%. So, and that's local food banks talking about that, not just us.
Right. No,
So,
I mean it's such a simple thing to do, but it has such an important impact on a large group. I mean, 1,400
right.
families in Missoula. I mean, there's only 80,000 people in Missoula. That's a huge impact on the community from a straightforward event that year after year. I mean, the station
Right.
does get kudos for this and deserves it. It's a great activity to be involved in and to offer people at the most vulnerable emotional time of the year for them.
Correct. Yep.
So let's talk about a little bit about media and things that happened in 2025 that that stand out, like best TV show. For me, the best series that I watched reruns of Ted Lasso. Unfortunately, in a couple of months, they'll be the next season of Ted Lasso, and that was a good show. But Slow Horses got me with Gary Oldman. I watched, that to me was the best show that I could watch. I don't know what your best show was, but that was my thing. I binge watched it as soon as I could.
Well, I caught the my favorite show of 2025. Maybe it's just that I saw it in 2025 was Adolescence on Netflix.
Yes.
That was I couldn't even figure out what how to classify that in terms of what was it.
Yeah.
The one camera straight shoot each episode. I mean, the acting and the discipline it took to do that and the subject matter was just jarring. But yeah, how about movies? How about movies 2025?
Well, I think the best movie, I've seen so much about it. I haven't seen it yet, but I know I'm gonna love it, is Marty Supreme,
Right.
with Timothée Chalamet. Because as a kid, and I know many people, I went to the ping pong facility that the real Marty had in upper, in New York City.
Right.
So he was a person that that was in my childhood, and he was one of the first kind of sports hustler. It was table tennis, it was ping pong. Which now is dominated by the Asian players, but at one point, the real Marty was the champion tennis player, and he was hustling to make money, and he was, very interesting, and the movie's just gotten fantastic reviews.
I haven't seen it yet. Josh Safdie, the director, want to see that. Also, I just saw Song Sung Blue, the story of that Neil Diamond tribute group.
Right.
Great film. I would say that is a must see. See it in a theater too, because it's a great communal experience, which is interesting thinking about predictions, right? And we talk
Right.
about what's happening in 2026. Looking at Netflix and making a bid for Warner Brothers
Right.
and Paramount making a bid for Warner Brothers and them being in a contested contest. A lot of people are very scared of Netflix owning
Well,
Warner Brothers because it's going to kill the theatrical business.
yes, and
And
that's
the,
true. That's
right?
true. And I have to say, the theatrical business has done a good job of trying to kill itself.
True.
I can, I was talking to somebody recently who went to see F1 in the theater. And between the ticket and popcorn and a drink, it was $50 a person.
Easily.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we experienced.
I mean, you can rent it at home even when it's fresh out for not $20 and have 100 people sitting there. I mean, you have your whole family for $20 watching it on a big TV in your family room.
Exactly. And you know what? Going to the theater, the ticket window is closed now. You have to buy your tickets inside with the
Right.
concessions, or you buy it in advance on the app.
That's why in Missoula, 95% of the time when I go out to the movies, I go to the Roxy, which is a
Right.
real movie theater with, reasonable prices if you're a member in particular. The smaller theater. I
Better
like that
popcorn.
better popcorn, filtered popcorn in those stainless steel bowls. It's more of an old-fashioned experience.
Right.
In Vegas, you can order, Aperol spritzes and cheeseburgers while you're watching the movie, but it's not the same kind of a movie experience. Obviously, there are a couple of other good movies. Sinners, which was, a horror
Yep.
classic, great done movie. And probably the one that's going to win most of the awards is One Battle After Another with Leo DiCaprio. I think
Yes.
one is the big one. And there'll
Haven't
be some
seen
other.
it.
Yeah, there'll be some other. I mean, the acting in that, particularly Sean Penn, who makes one of the greatest villain in a movie that you'll ever want to see. It's definitely a must see. Good directors making good movies. I mean, the guy who did Marty Supreme did Uncut Gems before that, the Safdie.
Softy,
Yeah,
yep.
Safdie, and that was a great, riveting movie. Different kind of movie, right? It was not necessarily a mass appeal movie. Marty Supreme wouldn't have been, except they put in, Timothy. He's probably the hottest actor in the world now, and he's a good actor.
Dylan.
That's why people are going to see that.
Arnie, quick question for you. This, 25 was the first full year that you spent in Las Vegas, right? Like this was your first kind of like
Winter,
spending,
first winter.
right? First winter in Vegas. Any thoughts about that? Like, what did you experience there? What are some of the highs and lows?
Well, I could tell you that coming here from like December to May, that time period. One, you can play golf.
Which you
It's
love.
not the balmy, no, hot. It's not like going down to Key West, but it's in the high 50s, low 60s in January and February. Perfect. And sunny, almost every day.
Vitamin
So in
D.
terms of going out and taking the dogs for a walk or, playing golf or, I mean, it's not beach weather, it's not, resort weather, but it's good weather that time of year for what you can't do in Missoula.
Right.
There's no black ice. There's none of that kind of stuff here that you have to deal with. Very little rain, although this year so far there's been more rain than last year. There've been 4 or 5 rainy
So
days.
it's safer.
Yeah, it's much safer in that way. The pros of Las Vegas. I mean, a lot of people from Missoula that do want to get away in the winter have, I think more go to Arizona.
Right.
But the difference is you can drive from Missoula to Vegas in 14 hours, so you can make it in one day if you suck it up a little. And it's hard, I think, when you try to go to Scottsdale or Phoenix or Tucson, you got to do it over 2 days. It's 20 something hours worth of driving. So
Right.
this is at the outer limits of one day trip. So if there's a problem back in Missoula, if there's been a power failure or something, you got to get back. You can get back in one day. The pros, the airport has 161 nonstop flights.
Amazing.
You can fly from here to New York nonstop on 3 or 4 different airlines, and you can do it for $200 round trip.
Amazing.
You can fly to London non. I mean, there's a lot of places to go. So in the winter, if you were wanting to get away on a holiday somewhere, there's a lot of nonstop options, and it makes a big difference in the winter. As you know, how many times in Missoula when you're trying to get home from somewhere, you have to stop in Minneapolis, Denver, or Salt
Salt
Lake
Lake.
City, and you get snowed in or miss your flight. The nonstop flights add a big attraction to trying to travel. I live 10 miles from the Strip. I don't go to the Strip unless somebody is here in town that wants to do something on the Strip.
Right.
There's plenty of in the town of Summerlin, where I am, which is a town of 125,000 people, there are 61 non-chain restaurants that have happy hours every day. So I
Right.
mean, we have plenty of stuff in the neighborhood, in the area. It's convenient. You don't have to go in the Strip. And when we do go down to the Strip, you try to choose a time to go that is not you're not going to get stuck in all in a convention. Recently there was the National Pro Rodeo. A chance. There were 175,000 people here for a week for that.
NFR, right?
Yeah, the NFR. So you couldn't go down there. If you had to go down there, you wouldn't like the experience. The other thing is Vegas is caught in this. One of the downsides is if you have to go to the Strip, they're caught in this thing of escalating prices to the point that it becomes, particularly for locals, a non-starter. I mean, you don't want to pay $40 to park to go down there. $35.
Unaffordable.
That's
Arnie,
unaffordable.
let's real quick segue. Let's talk about the economy. We do spend a lot of time with Tino in 2025, and I know in 2026 also we're going to have Tino on for our quarterly meetings. But what are
Right.
your thoughts about the economy in 2026? Where do you think we're headed? Is it as dire as we had thought it would be, or is it kind of steady Eddie?
Well, I think in general, it's a tale of two economies. For people of means, they don't have to, that are not on SNAP benefits or any of those other kinds of things.
Right.
I can see the price increases in food and other, durable goods and consumable goods. But it doesn't stop me from buying what I want.
Right.
There's a large part of the population are stopped, cold in their tracks. They're not paying, 40% more for steak. They're not going to go out and get a ribeye, and walk in and see it's $24 or $25 or $28 a pound and buy it.
They're
They're
going to
gonna
do without.
tune out of it. So I think for consumers, it's still going to be a problem. I don't see that under control. The stock market has been good. Well, a lot of people are not in the stock market. I mean, if you would use the stock market as a judge of the economy, it's been pretty good. However, there's an AI bubble in that stock market, which
Correct.
could evaporate. I happened to buy a stock. I won't name the stock because I don't give advice, over the air in particular. But I had a little bit of money sitting in account cash, so I went out and almost did throwing the dart at the dartboard, and I ended up with an AI stock, and it was a data centers. So it wasn't even an AI company. It was for the technology, the storage
Support,
behind it.
right.
That stock has gone up 800% in 4 months.
Wow.
But I don't expect that to continue. I expect that as a blip. As soon as the year ends, I'm going to sell it. So economically, the market's close to a high. People that have retirements that are market linked, are feeling okay. They're not feeling in dire straits.
They're concerned, but cautious.
Right. The tariffs, the American public. I mean, we've done this on the show many times. We're paying the tariffs. Chinese aren't paying the tariffs. Mexico's making more money than they ever made before, even with tariffs.
Right.
You're a beneficiary of the tariff system, believe it or not, because American public still wants those products, and we're willing to pay the 10 or 15% more.
Right.
The companies aren't paying it; they're passing it on. The majority of it's getting passed on to the consumer, and so far, at least in the early phase of this politically motivated tariff, structure. Which is not based on economic rhyme or reason. It's based on forcing countries to do things we want them to do by putting tariffs on them.
What do you think about healthcare, Arnie? What about healthcare? How does this impact healthcare? Because that's a big topic, especially as we go into the midterms next year.
Well, if we don't get, a bill out there that controls costs, I've already gotten, the first bill for 2026 is twice what it was 2025 per month.
You're kidding me.
No, in Missoula, Blue Cross Blue Shield has almost doubled. So you're going to have higher deductibles, or you're going to be willing to pay twice as much for your health insurance. We're the only developed nation in the world. We're not smart enough. Back in the 70s, you might know this or remember this. Healthcare companies were not for profit.
Right.
Insurance was cheap. Healthcare insurance was cheap because they didn't pay their CEOs $80 billion a year to be a CEO. They changed that, and once they changed that and allowed money to dominate the healthcare system, they used a lot of that money to put into political campaigns to keep it going. And what we have now is, a horrible system. We have great doctors. We have great hospitals. We pay 10 times more than anybody else in the world. All this baloney that you can't get appointments anywhere else. I mean, 35 other countries are doing, developed nations and many undeveloped nations have universal health care. Costs less than what we're individually paying for it.
So Arnie, and we've seen this in 2025, and I know we don't want to get into too much with respect to politics, but you're seeing the cause and effect, right?
Right.
When things become unaffordable and things become, especially for younger generations who can't buy a home, who can't keep up with expenses, healthcare, food, just common services, you start to seek representation from people who are trying to, like the Zora Mamdani's or the AOCs or the whomever, of saying, hey, Eve,
Right. I mean,
right?
it's and the pharmaceuticals are part of this too. I was with a friend the
Right.
other day who is post-cancer, had cancer, related chemo and radiation treatment, and the doctor prescribed a drug that she needs to be on for a long period of time. It's 20,000 a month.
But
Oh,
how many
God.
people in America can afford $1,000 a month, even, or pay 20 for the first month? You have to take out a loan to Yeah.
buy your. I mean, it's just, and anywhere else in the world, that's not the price. Medication that I'm on, Eliquis, is even when I meet my, minimum on my health care, my Blue Cross and Blue Shield, it ends up costing, $200, $300 a month. And I pay it, it's $4,000 a year. A lot of people can't afford it. They'll take baby aspirin as a blood thinner
Right.
instead of taking, something that might, keep them alive longer. It's an insane system. It shouldn't be what it is. Healthcare and the pharmaceutical, they're making plenty of money. They don't charge it anywhere else in the world. They charge it here because they can get it. And so that's why they charge it. Medical tourism is huge. If you will,
Right.
if you're travel savvy, you can go to, South America and see US trained doctors. You can go to Thailand, you can go to Vietnam to ultra modern clinics and get the same stuff for a tenth or a twentieth of what we pay here. And I don't see that changing in 2026. What I do hope for, at least, is a reasonable, response out of Congress that will extend something that will keep at least close to what it was last year, which was not low either.
Two words that I don't understand or don't get combined often is reasonable in Congress. So,
Yeah, absolutely. They
so
don't
if
fit.
that happens in 2026, I'll be thrilled to see that. But from a perspective of what we're talking about from a macro level, we're talking about the inequalities, and we're
Yes.
talking about the two economies, as you so rightly put it. Right. And that everything from there cascading, whether it's healthcare, it's affordability regarding, home ownership and groceries and just the consumables, the pharmaceutical industry, the macro. What
Right.
do we see anything changing in 2026? Are we moving from a political perspective more towards that social democracy, a social a dem democratic socialist, right? Like
I think
Mamdani.
we are, because I think some people are figuring out the fact that the people that are telling them they shouldn't have universal health care are their insurance companies, politicians who are paid by the pharmaceutical and insurance company, and billionaires. I don't see any normal people, regular people saying we shouldn't have universal health care.
Right.
I don't see an average person. I don't see, the mayor of, Missoula, or the mayor of Bozeman, or the mayor of Great Falls, or saying, oh no, universal health care is horrible. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think we're, if 35 other countries that are developed can figure it out how to do it, and they're not in, we spend more on other stuff like, building new, aircraft carriers and new warships and whatever. Universal health care or some variation of it is less expensive than we're paying now.
That's
But
right.
industry and billionaires are fighting it, and that should give you a good idea that it's probably not in our, it's not in their interest, but it is in our interest.
That's exactly right.
So let me talk. Let's move on and talk a little bit about some predictions for 2026. I mean, you've moved us in the right direction. On this economic stuff, I see in 2026, you're going to see the beginnings of a major global power shift towards Asia, away from the US and Europe as the, dominators of the global economy. And not
Right.
just China. China, India, Vietnam, Thailand, the whole region is becoming very economically savvy. They have found out as a result, whether it was intentional or unintentional, they found out as a result of this last year of tariff policies and others that they don't need the United States to survive economically.
That's right.
They can sell to Brazil, they can sell, Asia can sell to Canada, they can sell to Australia, they can sell to, anywhere in the world. The loss of the US, and it's not a complete loss, they still sell here, but they don't have to be dominated by the United States. And we've proved that now. We used to threaten it, but now we've proved they don't need us. They're doing fine,
The question is this. All right, so I'm going to give you the contrarian point of view, which is I kind of agree with that, But then I think there's some statistic like 54 cents of every dollar spent in the world economy goes to the United States.
Right, because we have
54
three.
cents.
Right. That's because we are the richest country in the world per capita.
Right.
So goods get sold here. And as I said, goods will continue to get sold here. But there's a shift. And this is the first year of the shift. You know, we're going to say we're not going to sell soybeans. We're going to, we're going to put a, we're going to put a huge export so they don't buy ours. They buy it from somewhere else.
So
Other
there's
countries are developing. The global economy is growing faster than the US economy, or at least equal to it. And that's never happened before. There's economic wealth, outside of some central, Africa. It's part of the reason we're in this battle with, Venezuela. It's hard not to talk a little bit of politics.
right.
Venezuela has nothing to do with fentanyl. Fentanyl doesn't come from Venezuela. It has everything to do with the oil. How did our oil get underneath their ground?
Right.
And that's, they want to put in a president, this administration, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. They want to force out the current president, put in one that's very pro-US, support him, and have them let our American oil companies take over their oil industry. I mean, if anybody else in the world was trying to do that, the US would go nuts.
Exactly.
But that's what Venezuela is all about. No one can make an argument that this is about fentanyl. Outside of Donald Trump, nobody can even talk about this as saying this is to prevent drugs. Those boats can't even get to the United States from where they are.
Exactly.
And they're not, the drugs don't come, fentanyl. If he's so concerned about fentanyl, he shouldn't have released the guy in prison who was the kingpin of fentanyl. But in any event, it's not about fentanyl. Venezuela is about oil. And so part of that is because the rest of the world says, fine, you're going to tax our stuff, we're going to sell it somewhere else. And so we're looking at, somebody that won't do that to us because we'll
So
control it.
you're saying, okay, so the shift over to Asia. The
Right,
world
that's one thing.
economy moving over to Asia. What's next?
Well, I think there's also domestically, there's a sort of a shift away. I think baby boomers and others have been beaten to death so much and, have dominated the landscape for so long, people are tired of us. That's the whole 6-7 thing. It was also a little bit about boomers. I think there's a major shift towards focusing on Gen Z in our culture, in our mainstream activities. We're going to be at some point, people in the boomer generation, or a couple of generations that follow, the 40 and over crowd is not going to be the focus anymore. The Z generation is born from 97 to 2012. Those are the 14 to 28 year olds. And I think that they're kind of dominating the landscape. They got, Mondami elected in New York. I mean, that's
Right.
how he got elected. They're tired of the old way of doing things. They have different priorities. They're not getting married as early. They're not into brand names. They're into, different norms. They don't wear watch. I mean,
They're
it's a
also
whole.
not having children. They're
They're
also
not
not
having
ha
kids too, either. So I'm seeing that shift, and I can see that in on media. When you watch media, there's much more focus on that age group now.
Yep.
That's showing mom, grandma and grandpa sitting around, falling on the ground, and I need help.
Right.
They're focusing on them with different media strategies. Though that generation doesn't watch TV.
That's great.
They don't watch, network TV. They get their information. They have their social stuff all through,
Their
digital
phone.
media, and so I see that going on.
Their phone. Yep.
I think there'll be a nationalistic fervor this year, in addition because of election year, and also because it's the bicentennial, it's the 250th anniversary of the United States. So the combination of a midterm election, which might shift balance, I predict, if I'm going to make a prediction, I do think at least the House is going to switch back to Democrat, which is going to put some check and balance back into a system that has been skewed, in one direction for the last year plus, or at least the last year. So I that and the combination. We already talked to AI. AI thinks going to grow, enormously in this year, and that brings up
So,
all kinds of issues, not just entertainment wise, but business wise. University-wise, I heard a very interesting little story. There's a friend of mine who's very connected to universities and has a friend who's a professor. And he said, the entire semester, you can do everything with AI. You can let AI do your papers, your research, everything.
Everything.
And so the last class of the year, he asked them, your last assignment is not AI related. Write down what you learned this year. And most of them hadn't learned anything.
Anything.
Because AI did it all. They didn't read anything. They just said, you know, tell me what's, you know, tell me what the, all about the 15th Amendment to the, you know, Constitution. And AI spits it out. They didn't read it. They just turned it in.
So we become a society of order takers and inputters, data inputters, not of thinkers.
Yeah.
Critical thinkers. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with our last segment to wrap it all up. Back after these words. All right, Arnie, we are back with our final segment. I know this is something you want to talk about, Montana and
local.
Yeah,
let's talk about Montana and Missoula predictions for 2026. I predict that we'll be a national champion football team coming from Montana in 2026.
That's a good one.
But I do predict that the Grizz will win the next national championship. I predict the Grizz will win the
26-27, okay.
Yeah, 26-27. I predict that. I predict that we will still lead as a Missoula, particularly, will still be a highly sought after place for people to live and a highly rated, city management and infrastructure. I think we're the third rated, or you know, we're certainly in the top 10 rated, you know, small city managed, you know, well managed. Cities in the United States.
And the United States, Arnie, quick question about that before we go off of that. Yeah. It's also from an affordability standpoint. Missoula may not be experiencing the highs or lows that a Kalispell or a Bozeman experiences.
Yes, I think so. You know, a lot of people came to Missoula during the COVID, post-COVID era when they could, you know, work remotely.
Yep.
You can still work remotely, but there's not the need to necessarily, you know, move that far away from your work. And many businesses are requiring people to come back a few days a week. And so I think some of that, you know, mass exodus from other places, you know, to a tranquil, you know, a more tranquil or more managed, balanced lifestyle is not going to wreck the Montana real estate economy like it maybe did for, you know, 36 months or so.
Okay.
And I think we'll have a great bicentennial celebration in Montana. Lots of what happened in Montana has bodes well or stands out, like Lewis and Clark and other things, for the entire United States. So as people look at back on the 250-year history of the United States, Montana plays a significant role in all of that. And so I will be seeing a lot of events and activities in our state and in Missoula commemorating the 250-year, you know, celebration of the United States.
Arnie, if I may put a finer point in this,
yes.
I want to give you three predictions.
Yes, give me three.
The Knicks go on to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy in 2026.
Yes.
The Giants have a winning record in 26-27 season.
Yes.
Based on how poorly they did in 24 or 25-26. And the last prediction is that we get an excellent, not just good, but excellent Asian restaurant in the Missoula area in 26.
I was going to add that we get another good Italian restaurant, Italian seafood.
I like that. Okay, I like that. Any
Italian
final
Mediterranean seafood restaurant?
Mediterranean, yes, I got you on that. Anything? Yeah. Any final points you want to make before we sign off?
No, 2025 was a very interesting year. We survived it. I expect 2026 to be a better year than 2025, and look forward to sharing it with you.
Onward, Arnie. We are into 2026. I look forward to sharing it with you too. I will see you next week.
Yeah, take care, Scott.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.